We're going to begin in Philippians chapter 3. But before we begin, over the years, the Lord, and I've been here since 2002, over the years, the Lord, when I first arrived and for the first 4, 5, 6 years, when a word would come through pastor, it focused more on worship more than anything. Because God was trying to get us to see how important worship was in terms of developing our relationship with Him. And so during that time, a lot of words came out about worship. And I only have the words up to 2007. And up until then, you could see that worship was still a focal point for him. And so I got to thinking about worship and how God tries to help us understand that if you want to mature from point A to point B, worship is going to be a very important part of that. If you want to mature from point B to point C, worship is going to be a very important part of that. The last two Wednesdays in December, the one message that Pastor did was called Satan's Defeat is Our Victory. The other one was Revival's Stable Foundation. Now, I don't know if you all picked up on this, but Pastor is not really one to write out his messages. He's not really one to have a lot of notes when he teaches. Because, you know, when he teaches line upon line, precept upon precept. And as he teaches, he gives us the mind of Christ as he's preaching, as he's teaching us. Okay? I believe that for this church, a shift occurred in December. Okay? Because Pastor, even though Satan's Defeat is Our Victory was not labeled a upper room message, it had the same feel of an upper room message. And his first official upper room message was Revival Stable Foundation. Now, God's heart's desire has always been to give as much of Him as He could possibly give us. Part of Him being able to give us as much of Him as He can possibly give is our willingness to worship. Our willingness to worship. Not just here, corporately, but when we're at home, when we're alone, and worship. Worship conditions our spirits to hear, to receive. Okay? I truly believe that in December, because of our willingness to hear what God has been telling us about worship, because of our willingness to do it when no one else sees us but us, He is now starting to give us more of the mind of Christ. And He's starting to do it in such a way that He's telling Pastor, there are some very specific things that I want you to make sure that my people hear. And so Pastor now is starting to write those things out so that we don't miss them. Okay? One of the things that I do is that whenever Pastor writes something out, my hand's the first one up for a copy. Okay? It's the first one up for a copy. Because I know that whatever the Lord has shared with him for that particular day, you take that particular message, you take that copy, you go home, you pray in tongues, you worship. There's more. There is more. So from day one, I have every single upper room pastor has delivered. And I have gone back and listened to each of them at least one additional time. And Father is showing me things each time I do that. When the Holy Spirit takes the time to tell our pastor, I want you to write this out, and I want you to read it to the folks, he wants us to hear it, okay? And not just one time. It's important to him that we hear it more and more, because he's giving us his mind. He's letting us know, this. You've reached a level now that I'm able to give you a little bit more. And I guarantee you, how we receive the upper rooms is going to determine how much deeper into the mind of Christ our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, is going to be able to give us. Okay? Because see, the first step in all this was the worship part. And so we're starting to get on board with the worship. Free worship, no music. And now God is saying, okay, it's now time for me to give my children a little bit more of what they need. Okay? So I wanted to draw your attention to that, because to me it was an important shift about what's going on at this church and for those who are hearing the messages via the internet. Okay? It's not an accident that our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, is being more deliberate in what he's doing in this church. It's not an accident. And if you would notice also, he started doing this after the pastor invited us to participate in the discipleship program. Did you notice that? That's when this started. And see, pastor, when God gave him the green light for the discipleship program, you have to understand, he talked about the discipleship program 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And it took, man, how slow are we? God! It took us 5 years as a church to get to the point where God could say, okay, it's now time to release the discipleship program. You have to know, that was a great day in heaven when God was able to release it, because he's been waiting for us to get to the point that we were ready to receive it. And now that he's given us the discipleship program, then all of a sudden, he's given us more of his mind to go along with it. Do you see how things work? How things work. Dave Robeson has a saying, or God has said this to him several times. He says, I need for you to give me something I can use. And so evidently, hallelujah, we've given God some stuff he can use, and now he's starting to use it. Okay? Normally, when I share the word, I prepare notes. He didn't let me do that this time. I have notes, but he didn't let me share them this time because of the way that they have been delivered to me. And they follow the pattern that the pastor has been doing with the upper rooms. That's the pattern that they follow. So I understand clearly why I did not make notes, because most of the time my notes are kind of in outline form, and you know, you take notes and you fill in and you add and all this sort of stuff. But again, there are certain things that he wants you to really pick up on what I'm going to share today. The title of the message is Memories Can Separate You From Your Life. Memories can separate you from your life. And the life that memories can separate you from is that life that God has given you, that new man, that born-again nature. Now, Don't misunderstand me when I say memories can separate you from your life. It doesn't mean that memories can cause you to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Memories can cause you to miss out on the inheritance that God has given you because you are so focused on the past that you are not living today. He's a very present help in the time of need. That's why I want to sing this song one more time. He's a very present help in the time of need. I asked Jenny this morning, I said, was this the original song list? She said, yeah. I said, So, but in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Paul writes, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says that I count not myself to apprehended. In other words, I have not fulfilled everything that Jesus has called me to do. I'm still working on that. But then he said, but one thing I do know, that I am forgetting those things that are before. Now, when Paul says he's forgetting, it's not like he wipes his mind clean and never thinks about them ever again. What he's saying is that those things that are part of my past, they don't have the same place of importance. They don't have the same place of priority that they used to. Now, we read this verse and we think that, hey, Paul, all of a sudden, he's there. All of a sudden, he's at a place where he can not let his past affect him. Folks, wait a minute. Paul was human just like us, okay? You have to know that we know that Paul, it says in Philippians, that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, okay, of the tribe of Benjamin. We know that he studied at the foot of Gamaliel, okay? You have to know that when he was on his faith walk, the enemy of the soul, said, do you remember Paul? When you were on the fast track to being a Pharisee? Do you remember, Paul, the time when you all were studying Ezekiel chapter 23 and you had insight on verse 13 and Gamaliel said, Paul, well done. Well done. You remember that, Paul? Because you remember, Paul gave up everything so he could serve Christ. Okay? But see, when you know how your enemy works, you know that he's going to bring up your past to try to get you to remember all the stuff that you did, all the good things, all the things that, you know, that happened to you that held you in high esteem. Okay? The jobs that you had that you no longer have. The relationships that you had that you no longer have. The people that you knew that are no longer part of your life. He will have you thinking about those things, longing for those times again, so that you are not focused on the present and doing the things that God wants you to do. Okay? So Paul says, I know that I have not reached a point in my life where Jesus wants me. But this one thing I do know. I refuse to let my past, to let memories cause me to forget who I am and what my job is. Because see, memories, and we're talking about good and bad. Memories have a way of checking you. For example, if I had done this, this would not have happened. I remember when I had this job and I made this decision. God, if I could just go back and not make that decision, my life would have been completely different. But you see that he's got you in a place that's not good for you. And see, when he has you in a place that's not good for you, then he dominates. I'm sure you all know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Most of the people who suffer from depression, they suffer from depression because of what was. What was, but is not now. That is the road that leads them down to depression. A longing about what used to be that's no longer now. Okay? And so Paul says, I have gotten to the point in my life that that is one area where he can no longer drag me down anymore. Okay? Now listen to what the Lord says. And he uses two words four times. Okay? He says, memories pull you. Those are two words. They pull you. Memories pull you back into the past. They will pull you into a place where you are powerless. Now, Barry, how am I powerless in the places where memory pulls me? You can't change them. You can't change them. And if you can't change them, imagine what it does to you on the inside if you can't change them. Okay? They pull you into a place where your emotions dominate. They pull you into the one place where your enemy can dominate you. Far too many of my children live in that place, the past, far too often. The thing that interested me about what he said, he says, far too many of my people live in that place. He didn't say visit. He didn't say pass through. He said live. Far too many of my children live in that place. Now listen to what he says. They find themselves going back to a place in time where the dead lived and where the old are young. There is always a trigger that sets memories in motion. There is always a trigger that sets memories in motion. For me, a trigger that sets memories in motion are songs. Any song that I hear from the 70s, they trigger emotions that my mom was alive, my dad was alive, my grandfather was alive, my grandmother was. I had a lot of dead people who lived. You see that? So whenever I hear a song from the 70s, it triggers that emotional response in me. Okay? Whenever I eat banana pudding, my grandmother, my dad's mom, she made a banana pudding. And see, she was a woman of God. In her banana pudding, there was maybe half a banana. Rest of them were cookies. Woman of God, okay? Hallelujah. Whenever I eat banana pudding, I think about my grandmother. Good thoughts. Don't linger too long. But there are times when I hear a song, like Family Reunion by the OJs, and my mom and my dad are gone, and a lot of the folks. If I'm not careful, I can feel myself being drawn in. Drawn in. You can just feel the cloud just kind of moving in. And see, those are the things we have to be aware of. And see, I know that there are certain songs that I cannot listen to because of what they will do to me. Your enemy knows that there are certain songs you shouldn't listen to. He knows that there are certain things you should not do. Okay? Because they are a trigger in your life to produce emotions that take you away from who you are now in Christ Jesus. Okay? There is always a trigger that sets memories in motion. Your enemy knows what they are for you. When your enemy can take you back to those times where you believe you were the happiest, he has been able to hide from you your true happiness, which can only be found in me. Those songs from the 70s, I was happy in the 70s. I mean, those were great times for me. I was my happiest. And there are times that not only does the music provide a trigger for me, but another trigger for me, and so I'm picking on Barry, another trigger for Barry is if something very emotional has been happening in his life, guess what Barry wants to do? He wants to go back to that place where, man, that was a nice time to live. Okay? My point is this. When you respond to the triggers the way your enemy wants you to respond to the triggers, you might as well get out a machine gun because his finger is going to be on that trigger and he's going to be shooting it all the time at you. Okay? Your father knows that there are things in your life that if you could have a do-over, you would do over them. But he also says, getting ahead of myself, he doesn't remember the past. We need to not remember the past in such a way that it pulls us back with our emotions that get us sidetracked from doing the will of God. Look in Isaiah chapter 43. If you have a marker, the next place we're going is Revelation. Chapter 12. Well, look at what the word says in Isaiah 43. And we're going to look at verses 25 and 26. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. For the sake of this teaching, transgressions are anything that does not agree with what he has said about us. Transgressions are everything related to our past that were not godly. Okay? I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression. And why did he do it? For his own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Now look at verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified, that thou mayest be proved right. Now, he says, put me in remembrance. What is it that God wants you to put him in remembrance of? The things that he has said about you. He's not talking about putting me in remembrance of all the bad stuff, the negative stuff, because, see, that's not God's way. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together that thou mayest be justified, that thou mayest be proved right. Do you see the process here? God is saying, come to me and let's talk it out. Let's talk it out, okay? Because that's exactly what he said to me. He said, my only thoughts about you are about who you are and what my son has done for you. You have no past with me. You are always in my present. You will never find me thinking thoughts about you that don't agree with what I have spoken about you in my words. Now, the next thing he said, hurt. You know, I'm used to getting spanked by Father. I am. But this one really hurt. And you'll see. He says, you will never find me having thoughts that would make you feel condemned or unworthy or filled with regret. I would not do that to you. What father would? And I got to thinking about some of the things I've said to Stephen over the years, to Candace, to Ephraim. And that hurt. Because I have not always said the word over them. Okay? There have been times in my anger and in my emotions I've said some things I shouldn't have said. So when I read this, I realized, remember when I was talking about, I know what kind of father I am, but you can imagine what kind of father your heavenly father is? He just told you. He just told you. Then he took me to Revelation. We're still talking about memories, but he took me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, Satan, we are not here yet. We are not at the place where Satan is cast down. He is still accusing us. Okay? And he gets before God, and he says, you know, God, I thought you said that now that they're born again, now that they have your life and nature, they don't have to sin anymore. Did you see what Barry did? God, I thought you said that once they're born again, once they have your life and nature, they have the ability to receive the Holy Spirit of speaking tongues. God, look at Job. He doesn't have that. God, I thought you said in your word that if your children seek you, you will supply all of their needs. God, look at Barry. He's not seeking you. He's still doing what he wants to do. Accusing us over and over and over. Now, not only is he the great accuser before our Heavenly Father, he does a masterful job with us in accusing us, in making us have feelings of regret, in making us feel like we are unworthy because of the things that we have done. Over and over and over, he accuses us. And the sad part is, and this is what Father said, he says, you know, we listen to him. We listen to him. Instead of us kicking that thought to the curb when it happens, we listen to him. And we start to think about, yeah, I didn't. God will not be able to use me now. Or I got to do a lot more things now to get back to the place where God can use me. And God is saying, hello, I don't remember your past. But God, that was 5 minutes ago. It's still past. It's still past. Everything I have said just before I'm saying what I'm saying now, guess what? It's past. You see that? It's past. He says, He says, Satan will always use your thoughts to try and steal, kill, and destroy who you are in me. And then he brought my mind to Genesis chapter 3, because that's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. He destroyed who they were in him by now them having a sin nature. He gets so frustrated when he stands before me saying things about you, because when he speaks, I can't hear him. I thought that was so neat. I'll read that again. He gets so frustrated when he stands before me saying things about you, because when he speaks, I can't hear him. He says, did you hear what I said? I can't hear him when he speaks things that are not in agreement with what I have said about you. But far too many of you listen anyway. You have my life. You have the ability to tune him out, just like I do when he feeds your mind, just like I do when he feeds your mind with thoughts that are contrary to who you are as my son and my daughter. And I thought it was interesting that he didn't do what he normally does, my sons and my daughters. He says, my son, my daughter. This is very personal for him. He looks at each of you, my son, my daughter. You have to take your thoughts, you have to make your thoughts agree with my thoughts. And you do that by speaking my thoughts. And then he took me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where it talks about meditate day and night in the word. Okay? Now, go back to Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, people have taken those two verses, and they've said, see, the way the Lord does things and the way he thinks about things are so much different from us, and we can't understand that. We will never be able to understand how God thinks. Is that really what it's saying? No. Go back up two verses. It only takes two verses to see what he's talking about. Verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake what? His way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him return where? To the Lord. Now let me ask you something. If he's going to return to the Lord, don't you think he's been there before? Okay? And if he has his own thoughts, and God is saying, return to me, don't you think at one time he was able to receive what God was planning on the inside of him so he could think like God? Okay? And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not the same thoughts as those who are wicked. You see that? Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And that Spirit should be a lowercase, because it's our born-again nature. For his Spirit, by his Spirit, for the Spirit itself, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And see, in my Bible, I have it highlighted. So I go straight from, now we have received the Spirit which is of God. Okay, I just kind of cut through, not the spirit of the world. I want to get to the good stuff. So now we have received the spirit of the world, the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us by God. Now look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. Okay? For we have the mind of Christ. You can know when the enemy is attacking you through your thoughts. You can know when he is marshaling your emotions against my life in you. Did I not say in my word that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth, and that he will show you the things to come? But knowing the attack is coming, or that it is happening, isn't enough. It isn't enough. Okay? And when he said that, I thought about, I can tell you how to make banana pudding, but I can't make banana pudding. I know, but I've never done it. So it's knowing is not the same as doing. Okay? Knowing is not the same as doing. Okay? But knowing the attack is coming, or that it is happening, isn't enough. You have to make the decision to put on the mind of Christ. You have to bring into subjection every thought from your past that causes you to feel defeated, helpless, and vulnerable. That's the key word, vulnerable. I cannot do that for you. But then he gives us the solution. But if you will spend time with me in worship, I will be able to bathe your emotions with the truth of my love. So when you start heading down memory lane the way your enemy is taking you, and your cloud starts coming over, God says, worship me. Worship me. Go back to Isaiah 55. I'm going to go to Philippians real quick, and these are the last two verses. In Philippians chapter 3, we read, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Notice he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, you know, I know that I have not apprehended because of what I see going on in my relationship with Jesus. Okay? But let me tell you what I do count. But this I do. Okay? He says, Paul says, I count, I do, I reach forth, I press. When you make a deliberate decision to act on what I have spoken in my word, I can move to bring my word to pass in your life. You see, my kingdom is set up in such a way that when you act according to its laws, you will receive everything that my kingdom, the place where you now live, has to offer, no exceptions. And when he said, my kingdom is set up in such a way that when you act according to its laws, he brought me to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, where it says the law of the spirit of life. And he also took me to James chapter 2, verse 12, the law of liberty. Okay? The law of liberty. My kingdom is set up in such a way that when you act according to its laws, you will receive everything that my kingdom, the place where you now live, has to offer, no exceptions. Listen to me. Your past no longer exists in my mind. There is nothing about you that has ever happened that should cause you to feel that you are not good enough or worthy enough for me to shower my love on you. And this is why I smiled when Jenny was talking, when the Lord was speaking to her about how much he loves us. He says, I love you. I have loved you for a long, long time. I have loved you through the ages. I just heard a popping sound. You are blessed much more than you know. Your enemy knows how blessed you are. He knows what you have received as my son and my daughter. But if he can keep you in a place where memories dominate, where your emotions rule, he will keep you from your life, which is that spirit on the inside, that born-again nature. Don't allow the enemy of your soul to steal what I have given to you through my son. Don't let him convince you that you can't defeat the memories of your past that bring you into a dark place. And when he said that, he reminded me of the memories about my mom and my dad being alive. That could be a dark place for me because I love my mom and dad, folks. I love those two people. And there have been times in my life I have thought, you know, I have told Doris, if I could just go back and spend a couple of hours with each of them one more time, I would love to do that. Barry thinks along those lines too long. Guess what? It becomes a dark place. Do you see that? Because, see, as he said earlier, I'm going back to a place where the dead lived. I'm going back to a place where the dead lived. When your memory starts to take you back to a place where the dead lived, it's a trigger. Okay? Think about that. Let's wrap it up. He says, don't let him convince you that you can't defeat the memories of your past that bring you into a dark place. Instead, talk to me. Remember what I have said in Isaiah. Remind me of what I have declared about you in my word. And then he took me back to Isaiah, and that's where we're going to end up, in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 8 through 13. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, are your ways my ways. Talk about the wicked, saith the Lord. For if the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, notice what happens. Who gives the seed to the sower? As the water comes down from heaven, who gives the seed to the sower? God. So, what seed has he given us? The Bible. That's the seed he's given us. Okay? The sower sows the word. Okay, that didn't cost you anything. Oh, tough crowd. Okay. Okay. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereinto I have sent it. For ye shall go out with joy. Why? Because my word does not come back void. You see that? For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't that neat? So when you go home today and you start seeing trees clapping, it's for you. Okay? It's for you. If you start seeing, you know, mountains breaking forth and singing, it's for you. It's for you. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay? That shall not be cut off. And this is what he ended with. He says, talk to me, build your faith. Talk to me, build your faith. And know that when we talk, all of heaven is listening. Remember what he said, that when Satan is standing before him accusing us and he says, I can't hear him. Remember he said that? He says, when we talk, all of heaven is listening. I hear everything you say. And I will bring you to a place of pure joy where rejoicing is all that you will ever know. Trees clapping, mountains singing. Okay? Memories have the ability to make you forget who you are and what God has done for you. Because memories are things that, if left unbridled, can take you down a road that sometimes is hard to get back from. It really is. So I encourage you today that when a trigger produces a memory that starts, that you know it's going to end up taking you into a dark place, because the Lord says, I can show you when an attack is coming, and I can show you when an attack is in progress. So when that trigger, you talk to him. Okay? You talk to him. That's what he says. Talk to me. Build your faith. And when you build your faith, you are building your faith because you are giving him the words that he's already given you to build your faith. Okay? Your Heavenly Father loves you. And I think he's made that awfully clear today with the words that Jenny spoke and then the words that he gave me on Tuesday. And I think we sometimes forget, or we don't understand, what that love really means and all that it encompasses. And I think we also don't always understand how our enemy attacks us. And the fact that memories are one of those things, and until God showed that to me, I never really thought about it a whole bunch. I remembered the effects that the memories would have from time to time, but never seeing them as a tool that the enemy can use to keep me from enjoying and understanding the inheritance that he's given me. So I encourage you today, every thought that you have, make it line up with God's word. If it's not lining up, don't listen to it. Tune it out. Like your children do you. Tune it out. And Stephen never tuned me out. Yeah, right. Tune him out. Don't listen to him. Because, see, when God told me that we can tune him out, and he took me back to Genesis chapter 3, that's what Eve should have done. Tuned him out. That's what Adam should have done. Tuned him out and kicked him out. So, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, bring every thought into the captivity of the mind of Christ. And because God wants more than anything for you to live a life where there is joy in your life, there's peace in your life, and there's your life is not disrupted by things that could have been, should have been, wish they were. God says, this is where you are today. Everything else was your path. This is where you are today. Are you going to use my life that I've given you, that my son died for to give you? Are you going to use my life to dictate your future? Or are you going to let my life sit on a shelf and then you go back to your past? I've made a decision this morning that I'm going to use his life and dictate my future. Amen. Please stand.